If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis 19, verse 16. It says, "And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city." Do you ever procrastinate? How many of you men have got a honey-do list? Yeah. And you know, at least you're honest. And we're going to get to it, or get around to it, you know. I remember when that used to kind of be popular, and they had this little old wood coin, you know, that was around to it. But Lot was one of the most indecisive men mentioned in the Bible. He was seldom in a hurry, and except for one notable occasion, he always seemed to be dragging his feet. When strife began to exist between his herdsmen and that of Abraham's, he could have tried to solve the problem, but he did not. As the trouble increased, he could have sought Abraham's assistance to solve the problem, but he did not. When he became a resident of Sodom, his conscience troubled him, and the Bible tells us he was grieved in his spirit, but he refused to leave. When the city was about to be destroyed, the angels told him and his family to flee. But he hesitated until God's messengers had to force him to leave. Lot was instructed to flee to the mountains, but he argued, and he chose another city. He was also told, he and his wife, not to look back. But you know the story, how that the wife turned and looked back, and she turned to a pillar of salt. This man was always procrastinating. He believed that there would be a tomorrow, so why rush today? Now, the man who lost his father, in Genesis 11, verse 27 and 28, it said, "Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahum, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in the Ur of Chaldees." Now, it's probably that his mother had also passed away, and it seemed that he became very dependent upon Uncle Abraham. And at the time of Abraham's departure from Haran, he was 75 years of age. Lot was probably 25 or 30 years younger than that. Considering the age that people lived during those times, remember they lived to be a lot longer than what we do. Abraham at 75 was considered to be a young man. That gives some of us hope. He heard the call of God and he obeyed. He is attracted to Abraham, and seems like the feeling is mutual. Lot's possession began to increase tremendously, and that shows that he was with the man of God. And while he was with the man of God, God blessed him, and his wealth increased tremendously, but success inflated his ego. Now, the man who lost his fellowship, in Genesis 13, verse 7 and 8, it tells us that there was a strife between the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abram. And the problem was water rights and when we get to water our herd. And when the workmen insisted on their rights, there was strife in the camp, and it brought Abraham and Lot into the mix. Now, this should have annoyed and aggravated Lot, but it did not. In fact, he began to stand up for his own men. But on the other hand, Abram was grieved in his soul to see discord, for he knew how difficult it was for brethren to live at peace with God and be in discord with one another. So Abraham made a suggestion. He said, "Now you look out on the fields. You look to the right, you look to the left. And if you decide to go to the right, I'll go to the left. And if you decide to go to the left, I'll go to the right." He said, "It's your choice." Now keep in mind, Abraham was the man of God. He was the one that God was going to bless to become a great nation. And yet we see his humility. And so Lot began to look. He looked over here to the right. He saw the hill country that was kind of barren of grass and sure wasn't conducive to herds. He looked over in the left. He looked over into the plains of Jordan. He saw it was green and it was lush and everything looked good. He thought to himself, "If I go over there, I'm going to be a wealthy, wealthy man." And so he didn't hesitate. He chose to take the plains of Jordan. It might be assumed that Lot would have recognized the value of Abram's presence, his fellowship, and his business expertise. You see, they had lived in the hill country, and God had blessed them with wealth immeasurably. But Lot wanted more. In fact, he probably became just a little too big for his britches. And so, when he looked on the well-watered plains, he decided that's what he wanted. But unfortunately, he forgot about his soul. You know, I've seen as a pastor a lot of families. When they get a job offer somewhere that it pays them a few more dollars, they'll leave. And they'll go into that kind of far country for that few more dollars, and they don't consider the fact of their soul. All too many times they get out of church altogether. It's a sad thing, but this is what's going to happen to Lot. Reminds me of the prodigal son. You remember that his heart was in the far country. And he determined to himself that if I can just get away from the father and from the strong hand of the father, from the controlling of the father, if I can just get away, I can have a great life and I can enjoy life once and for all. So he asked for his inheritance. And the father granted it to him. You see, the story just simply tells us that a person has a right of choice. They can come to church and live in church, or they can decide not to come to church. You see, they have the right of choice. So he chose that he would leave the father and go to the far country. And he would seek his fortune. But there he discovered that a fool and his money are soon parted. And we see the last part of his being in the far country when he'd spent all of his money. Everything was gone. He'd lost his friend because he had no more money to give. And then, in order to survive, he goes to the pig farmer. For a Jew, that was as low as you could go. And that's really what the Lord wanted us to see, that he had brought him down, that this man's decision had brought him down to be a pig farmer. And when you run with the hogs, you get dirty. But at least in his mind and in his heart, he began to think, my father's servants have it much better than I. They've got bread and to spare, and here I am slopping with the hogs. He said, I'll arise and go to my father. He got up from that pig farm, and he went tattered and dirty and smelly, and he walked all the way back home. He knew the way well. And the father was sitting out on the porch. I can see him as he looked every day to see maybe that little cloud of dust that would indicate that his son was coming home. He was my son, and he's coming home. One day he saw that little puff of dust, and one day he looked very hard. He got up from the porch. He walked out into the yard, and he looked, and he could tell he walks like my boy. He looks like my son. And he goes out, and sure enough, it was, and he runs out to meet him, and he's being a dignified man. He picked up his robes and began to run to meet the boy, and he saw him, and he was smelly. I'm going to tell you, if you've ever messed with the hogs, they stink. You know, I've seen folks have these hog farms, you know, and people complain because of the smell. Well, I know he smelled like a hog. But the father comes and wraps his arm around him and pulls him tight. And he said, get the robe. Put it on his back. Get the ring of sonship and put it on his finger. Get the shoes and put it on his feet and kill the fatted calf. We're going to make merry and we're going to rejoice because this my son that was lost has come home. He's found. Folks continue to make the same mistake today. They never miss the water of fellowship until the well runs dry. The church is an oasis. Now, it's not perfect. I thought about when you and I got here, it made it imperfect. You're supposed to laugh at that. But we're all imperfect people, you know? But this is not a perfect place, but it is the church. It's an oasis that when you're hurting, when you have problems, you can come to the church and you'll find help. Help for your spiritual life and vitality. The church. Then the man who lost his faithfulness. Note the digression. It tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, and Peter discovers how that God delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and in seeing them and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the unlawful deeds. I'm going to tell you, if God hadn't said this man was righteous, we'd have called him a rank sinner, a backslider, one that turned away from God. Well, he exchanged the fellowship of God's bounty and of God's man for the taunts and the sneers of the Sodomites. His cattle and his wealth, all they increased, and everything seemed to be good on the outside. And he was a man that was had risen to popularity. He became an official. He sat at the gate. But he ran with the wrong crowd and it exacted a tremendous price. It's difficult to see how a righteous man could grieve and do nothing about it. I'm going to tell you, it reminds me of the fact that when The presence of God is so powerful in conviction upon sin in a service. And the invitation is given. And all people are grieved in their soul because of their sins. And they know well that if I die before I repent, I'm going to hell. But they grieve and do nothing about it. And you know, you can get away from church a little bit, and the old devil, like a bird, will come and snatch the seed of the Word of God out of your heart to where that you don't feel conviction anymore, and you think, well, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. Every time you say no to God, your heart gets a little bit harder. And it becomes easier to put it off the next time. It becomes easier to say, no, Lord. Well, reminds me of the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus to inquire about eternal life. And Jesus said, keep the commandments. He said, Lord, I've kept these from my youth up. But Jesus cut through the chase. He went to the crux of the matter. And he said to this young man, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. Now, he wasn't really asking him to do that, but just be willing to do it. Because he knew that that was first in his life. He knew that that money and wealth and popularity and fame, it meant more to him than anything else. And he was not willing to give it up. And the Bible said he turned and walked away sorrowfully. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Lot had lost his influence, and it didn't seem to bother him. He also lost his fortune. The wheels of judgment may grind slow, but they do grind exceedingly small and sure. Because there came a day when the angels of God got Lot and his family, and they almost had to force him out of the city with the threat of fire and brimstone coming down from heaven. But they got him outside the city, and God was waiting until they were safe before he sent judgment. And the reason why was not so much Lot, but Abraham. You remember Abraham interceded. He said, Father, if there be 50 righteous in the city, would you destroy it? And the Lord said, if you can find 50 righteous, I'll spare the city. It went on down and on down and on down till they got to 10. If you can find 10 righteous in the city, I'll not destroy it. But there was not 10 righteous in that city. Wouldn't that be an awful thing, an awful judgment to say about any city? There's not 10 righteous people in that city. And so the time had come, and God said, get Lot and his family out. And when they're safe, the fire and brimstone's coming down from heaven. And you know, it came down from heaven until every person there was destroyed and dead. God is a loving God. But there comes a time when God said, it's enough. It's enough. And I can tell you, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They did eat and drink. They bought, they sold, they married, they gave in marriage. They did all the normal things, thinking life was going to continue. Until one day, Noah and his family and the animals were all in the ark, and 7 days had passed, and that door was shut, and One day, storm clouds appeared on the horizon. That had never happened before. It began to thunder. Lightning began to flash. They didn't know what was going on. Noah did. Because he believed God. He moved with fear and built the ark for the saving of his household. And when they got in the ark and everything was well and 7 days had passed, a time of completion, God opened the windows of heaven. And brethren, it began to rain. And water came from the fountains of the deep through the cracks and the crevices of the earth. Water was coming from everywhere, just the way God said it would, until everybody died. Everybody drowned. Oh, I'm amazed this morning at the fact of how folks don't fear judgment. But I'm here to tell you, one day they'll cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. One day they'll cry, "Oh God, be merciful to me. Give me another chance," just like they did in Noah's day. Well, Lot went outside the city, and I can tell you that his life was sordid. He was guilty of drunkenness and debauchery. And yet God said he was a righteous man because his soul had been vexed by being among the Sodomites. But I can tell you that there's nothing new under the sun. In fact, you remember when Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden, it started right then. They had a choice. God's way or my way. And they chose my way. And the Bible tells us they got put out of the Garden of Eden and they were to die. Solomon said, "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." The Lord says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." You remember what was said back in Joshua's day? He believed these facts to be true, and he said this. He said, "Choose you this day," when he talked to the people, "whom you will serve. You choose, but it's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-scarred hand than to be the king of a vast domain or to be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today." A doctor was given a prognosis to one of his patients, and he said this, "Sir, I have some bad news and some really bad news to share with you." The patient looked somewhat shocked and he said, "Okay, doc, what's the bad news?" The patient was eagerly waiting. The doctor said, "The bad news is that you have 24 hours to live." The patient swallowed hard. Then he paused a second and said, "Well, it can't get any worse than this. What's the really bad news?" "The really bad news is I should have told you yesterday." Now, that's kind of funny, but I'm here to tell you, the bad news is you're going to die. Now, I don't know if it's 24 hours. I don't know if it's next week, next year. But I'm here to tell you, you're not destined to live here forever. In fact, you're going to one day come to that time when, you know, you're going to get sick and doctors can't help you. One of these days, you might be driving down the road and have an accident, and the undertaker comes to take your body. You see, one of these days, we're going to leave here. God help us that we'll make things right with God, that we'll get on our knees before God and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you know what he will do? He says, if you confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's what he'll do for you. Will you bow with me for prayer?